Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue our study on the book of Ecclesiastes, and today we shall be studying Ecclesiastes chapter 8. The topic for consideration today is, where is justice? Where is justice? Is that your cry? Have you suffered injustice and it doesn't seem like there is any recourse for you in this world? Well, as I was preparing the sermon for this topic, the Lord brought back memories of the past when I was a young teenager in secondary school. At the point of time, I was, of course, not yet a Christian. But nevertheless, the memories of those days are still very deep in my mind, still very vivid. And what was life for me like in those days? Well, when I was in upper secondary, I transferred to a secondary school. It was a Chinese school, and I was new. And so when I was there, the people regarded me literally as an alien. It's just like how you travel in certain countries. As you pass by certain immigration, as you go through those immigration lines, if you're a foreigner, the line will be labeled aliens. Well, for me, being somebody who only come in upper secondary, well, the people there regarded me as an alien, and my looks in those days did not help me very much. I was not a very trendy type of person, and I was an introvert. I was not very sociable. In some sense, still is today, but a lot worse last time. And so when I was there, well, immediately they did not take a liking unto me. And so what happened? Well, many of them started spreading very unkind rumors of this alien. That was the word they used, alien. 陌生人. And what they said was that, well, this guy was transferred into this school because the parents bought him a place in this school by money. Well, you know that in Singapore, if you try that, well, it's very dangerous. One thing, having been a former teacher, I can assure you that, you know, in our schools, such things, as far as possible, unless really there are one or two isolated cases, but you won't find that happening. Nobody will get any place in school by money. But that was what they said about me, and after that, I don't want to tell you all the other unkind things they say about me. Just to say that it reduced me into tears. It was not true. And so being a non-Christian in those days, my only comfort was in my CCA, in the Chinese orchestra drum. So I keep going to the auditorium in those and then practicing the Chinese percussion. Very noisy. But and because it was also a form of an avenue for me to vent up all the pressure and the anger and all the feeling of injustice in the heart. And I remember as I played those drums, in my heart I was crying, where is justice? Where is justice? Nobody defends me. Everybody just look at me. Yes, I don't look as handsome as those people there. I don't look like all of you. I don't look so trendy. But I'm just a young teenager. I'm just coming in. It's not as though I want to be here. Oh, where is justice? And none of the teachers seem to know that this young teenager was suffering because I was an introvert. I wouldn't go to any person and tell the person, no, I'm suffering. Well, where is justice? Was literally bullied. Well, is that the experience of some young people here? Well, sometimes they don't say, but that may very well be their experience. Well, but this is just at the at the level of a young person, young man. Now, those of you at work, and now you enter into the workplace, you probably have seen situations that are far worse than this, and probably you have experienced this yourself. You go into a new workplace, or and then you try your best to do your work, but people just slander you and just say all kinds of false things about you behind your back, and there is no way for you to defend yourself. And even and very soon, even your boss thinks that you are like this. Where actually, the way people describe you is very different from the truth. And so in your heart, you may cry, where is justice? Where is justice? In the ministry, it's also the same. And if you seek to be faithful to God's word, and you want to be true to the Bible, please do not think that as you serve the Lord, you will be free from troubles. In fact, the more you want to do God's work faithfully, the more you should expect trouble to come. Because we live in a world where Satan is very active. Well, Satan and his demons, you don't expect them to leave you alone. They will want to oppose God's work. And so if you study the lives of many a faithful men, their testimonies, you will see that, they are often subjected to a lot of slanders and backbitings. They are often subjected to calumnies. And oftentimes they have no defense. People will say all kinds of things about faithful men. And that could very well be your experience right now too. You try to serve faithfully in whatever area of service that you are in, and the people just say all kinds of things about you which will not be true, and there's no way you can defend yourself. And sometimes this kind of problems can also be very far-reaching, can also have a great impact in your life. And sometimes you really just feel like going home and then crying. All I'm trying to do is to serve faithfully, but then there is opposition, and they destroy me, and they malign me. Wow. Where is justice? Where is justice? Well, our experiences with injustice in this world is not something that is new. Just now, during the responsive reading, I believe every one of us read very carefully what was written in Psalm 73. And there, in this psalm written by the sons of Asaph, you see that, the psalmist was a person that experienced such injustice in his life. He see the wicked prospering. And in the troubled state of his soul, he proclaimed, wow, there is no justice in this world. Why is everything like this? And because of that, he was very distressed. Yeah, he almost fell into depression. Well, is there justice in this world? Well, if we say that there is no justice in this world, then what we are saying is this, right? We are declaring that there is as good as declaring that there is no God. Why so? Because what we know about God from the Holy Scriptures is that He is not only an omniscient God, but God is a perfect judge and God is a God of justice. And so when we say that there is injustice in this world, what we are saying is, firstly, number one, perhaps there is no God, or even if there is a God, He is not a God of justice, or He is not powerful enough, He is not all-knowing enough to make sure that there is justice in my life. And that we know, of course, it is not true. And here in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, King Solomon deals with this whole topic of, of injustice in this world. Is it true that there is injustice in this world? No, not true. Because there is a God, and this God is knowing what is happening in this world. And firstly, what we see in verses 1 to 5 is that he has, in fact, installed institutions that will be his instruments to mete out justice in this world. And that is exactly what we see in verses 1 to 5. Now, what do we have here in verses 1 to 5? Well, here the Bible writes, "Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed." Now here, the Bible says, well, if you are a wise man, you know how to interpret events. Well, you know, to understand why events happen in a certain way. Well, a man that has this kind of wisdom, well, you will see that his face is shining. Well, what do you mean by a face that is shining? Well, you have to look at the next part of the verse. "The boldness of his face shall be changed." Now here, the boldness of his face refers to a face that is hardened, that is stern. Oh, does that mean that anybody's face, if it appears very stern and very moody, means very moody looking, seems then the person is not wise? Who here has a very stern face? I think I have a stern face. I think there are others here who may also naturally have a stern face. So if they walk about with a stern face, does that mean that they are not wise people? Well, of course, that is not what this verse is trying to say, right? This verse, you have to look at the context of verses 2 to 5, which talks about dealing with the king, right? Dealing with high authorities, right? And then after that, dealing with justice and injustice. And so, yes, as he walketh about, and though his life, right, there may be injustice, right, that he does not experience fairness, yet he does not allow these events to unsettle him. He does not allow these events to disturb him. And so, therefore, his countenance will be one that is bright. His countenance will be one that is cheery. There will be joy in his heart. Now, of course, this verse doesn't mean that there won't be times where a person will have a stern face. For example, if let's say this wise person happens to be a judge, let's say, now when a judge pronounces judgment, he cannot go into the courtroom and then say, "Hi, welcome everyone. Hey, please sit here. The accused, the plaintiff, sit here. The defendant, sit here." And then, as the question, he keeps smiling. Very light. Of course not, right? You will expect all judges to have a very stern note. If not, next time, if the Lord grants you an opportunity to go to the courtroom, you should go. I was there when there was the FEBC trial. Every one of them, their look is very stern. Are we therefore going to say that they are not wise men? No, of course not, isn't it? So the context matters here. Here, it has to do with injustice. This person has suffered injustice, but a wise man would not allow it to dominate his emotions, dominate his thoughts. Why? Because he has the wisdom of the Holy Scriptures, and so therefore he can keep his emotions, his thoughts, and his passions in check. And so as he walks about, there is great peace in his heart, there is also this joy. Now, does that mean that there won't be sorrow? Yes, of course there will be sorrow, and sometimes events can be very painful. But nevertheless, because he knows theology, he knows the scripture, and so therefore his heart is one that is settled in the Lord. And so therefore his face shines, and there is he will not be so distressed and depressed until he cannot function in life. And so the first thing that he learns, that he understands, is this: that in this world there is something that is called the government, that will serve as God's divine institution and ordinance to mete out justice in this world. And in the context of Israel, right, what you have there is a monarchy, isn't it? Now, before that, of course, Israel was a theocracy, but they rejected theocracy. And so, right, when we study King Saul, right, the life of David, right, we went through, right, all the accounts, right? You have King Saul, and after that, King David. And now, by this time, right, the ruler in Israel is none other than King Solomon. Right? So King Solomon as the highest authority, King Solomon as the highest court, right, in the entire Israel. And what is the function of the courts? What is the function of the government? Now, one good passage that we can turn to understand these words, right, these verses here from verses 2 to 5 is Romans chapter 13. Right, let's quickly turn to Romans chapter 13. Right, Christians in this time and age need to understand this passage very well. Right, Romans chapter 13. And here God's word says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So even those in high places, though in governments, and in the case of Israel, the one who is the king is also placed there by God. Right? God is the one who ordained them. God is the one who grant them the authority. So therefore, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers, so what is their function? Well, these rulers that are there, they are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of good to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Right, so that is what God's word teaches us in Romans chapter 13. The government as a divine ordinance to mete out justice, right, social justice especially, right, in the land. It's true for Israel, and as what you can see in Romans chapter 13, it's true for every nation. And so, how then should our attitudes be towards these courts? And nowadays, people like to show contempt of courts. And recently, this is a debate. Now, I wouldn't want to go into the debate about the new ruling. That is not the point here. That one is, I leave it to the politicians to debate. But what is the theological perspective? Right, the theological perspective is very simple. You never show contempt for the courts. You never show contempt for the government because they are the authority that is placed there. Right, your attitude towards the government must be one that is very respectful. And this is exactly what the Bible teaches us down here in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 2. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment and that in regard of the oath of God. What do you mean in regard of the oath of God? Well, as citizens of Israel, do you not make an oath before him that you will obey the king? And that is exactly true. We have studied that passage before this, either this year or last year, right, with 1 Samuel. They themselves say, well, we want a king, and then whatever the king asks, we will obey. If he wants more taxes, we will give it to him. If he wants our sons to be conscripted, we will also give our sons to the king. Well, you make an oath before God. He is the highest authority of the land, and so therefore we obey. And is that not true for every one of us down here? Children sing the national anthem and take the pledge every day in school, right? Yes, Gareth? Yes, every day, Okay. Do you know that when we sing the national anthem and when we take the pledge, we are making an oath? Yeah, to the people, nowadays people treat this oath lightly. In certain countries, when the national anthem sings, they even burn their flag or they even kneel down. It is an oath before God. Right? When you say that I'm a citizen of Singapore, you pledge loyalty to this nation which God has placed you in. and under the authority of the government. So therefore, we need to understand this, and the government, right, their function is to ensure that there is this social justice, and so therefore, if you do evil, right, you should be very afraid of the government. But if you didn't do evil, right, then why should you be afraid of this government? And so therefore, that is what Solomon says in verse 3, right? Be not hasty to go out of his sight, right? And how to understand this, be not hasty here, the hastiness talks about, you know, you very quickly want to run away because your heart is very troubled. Why are you very troubled? Well, because you have done evil. And so therefore, stand not in an evil thing, right? So be not hasty is explained by this expression, stand not in an evil thing. You want to have, be able to stand before the courts and therefore not be afraid, first make sure that in your life you don't do anything against God. You do everything truthfully. You do everything according to the scriptures. And when you are a good citizen because you want to obey God and you obey His commandments, when you therefore stand in the sight of God, or you stand therefore in the sight of the king, you won't feel this hastiness to want to go out of His presence. Why? Well, as what we have heard before, just like what Sir Galahad has said, well, if my heart is clean, well, I have the strength and might of 10. I'll be able to stand there, and then I'll be able to stand before the courts. However, if you're evil, well, you need to understand this. Well, with regards to the king, and with regards to the king, it's really true. He doeth whatsoever pleases him. And of course, in this context first, the assumption is that this king is a good and righteous king. Just like how Solomon was, right? In most part, right? Especially in early days, we see a good and righteous king. Not only a good and righteous king, but given this wisdom to know how to execute justice. And if you do evil, well, this king, being a king, really can do whatever is in his heart to feel that it is right and fair to what is right and fair, and then he will mete out the justice upon the person. And of course, then you better be very afraid. So understand this and be very careful. Don't show contempt of court, because that is exactly what Solomon warns of in verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? What, you dare to ask, why you do this, why you do that? Well, nowadays governments, people, you know, we have good governments who you know, especially in Singapore, we thank God, by and large, we have a wise government who is very willing to on the most part, right, by and large, right, willing to listen to certain recommendations and things. Well, you go before a monarchy, you think the monarch will listen to you? Well, the monarch will just choose to do whatever he wants to do. No such thing. You dare to question me? I am the king, you know. A king. Why you want to eat lasa today? I want to eat that. Why you want question me why I want to eat lasa? Today I want to eat lasa. Cannot. You can't question. Why? Because there is power. And of course that power, power in the king's word, is granted to the king by the highest authority, which is none other than God Himself. And so therefore, right, would there be justice in the land? Yes, there will be justice in the land. Right, there's this divine ordinance which God has instituted upon the land to mete out justice, that would be the cause. And so therefore, make sure, right, you keep the commandment. If you keep the commandment, you shall feel no evil thing. Right? See that? And the wise man, right, will therefore discern both time and judgment. In other words, the wise man will understand this, and the wise man will know that, yes, indeed, I have to be respectful to the courts, and I know that the courts are in the hands of God. It's the instrument in which God will use to mete out justice in this earth. And so, therefore, I will let the court process to take place. Right? So that everything will be fair. And I will pray unto God that God will grant this man that are in the courts of wisdom to mete out everything in a fair and righteous way. And please understand that when we talk about courts also, right, these courts do not just only apply to the nation, right? The nation have their courts, right? The nation have the government, so there is a divine ordinance. But with respect to the church, there is also what we call the ecclesiastical court, because does the church not only not have a government? It has, isn't it? Right, this will be, right, rightly so, the board of elders and the session, right, the ecclesiastical courts. And so therefore, well, you need to pray for these men. They are not in an easy position when they need to make decisions and judgments. And sometimes there may be sin in the camp, and there is a need to call for disciplinary proceedings. Now, recently, right, in the ACM, and of which the congregation has agreed, there is this motion that is passed. Is if that, let's say, is a person is required to attend a disciplinary session, and then the person does not appear, what happens? Well, the session, and therefore have the right to not only to admonish and to rebuke, but also to suspend, to disposition, as well as to excommunicate, because there is contempt for the ecclesiastical courts. Just like in the country, you can tell the court summon you to come. You are a witness, or you are a plaintiff, or your defendant. Sorry, I don't want to come. No way. Finish for you. One added charge. So same, right, with regards to the ecclesiastical courts. And they are there, not because to destroy, but they are there really to maintain justice, purity, and righteousness in the church. And so, yes, even with regards to the church, there is this divine ordinance, that these ecclesiastical courts that are there, right, as God's instruments to ensure that there will be justice. And so it is very important for us to realize this. And then to be, you know, even with regards to whether be it the cause of the nation or the cause of the church, right, to be very respectful. And that is what the wise man would understand, the wise man would know. Right? A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. But of course, sometimes, and in fact many times in the world, the cause of the nation, the courts of the church sometimes may be full of wicked and corrupt men, and that is due to God's divine permission. He allowed it to happen. In some countries, this can be very bad, right? So much so that, you know, even the divine ordinance of God cannot function. The governments cannot function. In some countries, if you are a police, you are a cop, or you are a judge, or you are most scared. You persecute a criminal, or sometimes in order to defend yourself, you have to shoot a criminal. In the end, your picture is taken and then posted on Facebook, you may be sacked instead. True? Well, like that, how to function? But that is the kind of twisted world that we are living in. And sometimes it's true also that these people that are placed there, they can be bribed. They can pervert judgment because they are not impartial. They go according to relationships. They see friends. Oh, because you are my friend, so therefore I defend you. Or because I have an interest in your particular company, so therefore I defend your company. There can be such cases. So therefore, how should we regard such things? Well, you look at verse 6. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? Now, what is Solomon trying to say here? Well, what Solomon is trying to say here is this. That every individual in this world, especially those who live under the sun, like it or not, even though when they walk around they appear very happy, yet there will always be misery in this heart. Why? Because they know that judgment is coming, and they do not know when this judgment will be coming, because this judgment is not in their hands. This judgment is in whose hands? This judgment is in God's hands, that final judgment. And so, you look at verse 8. There is no man that have power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither have he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given in it. Yes, no man can have control over the day of his death. And that we have already discussed before that when we talk about the house of mourning and other chapters before. No man have control when he shall die. That is in the hands of God. God is the one who predetermines when each person's life shall end. You can't control it. People have tried doing it in the past. Qin Shi Huang tried and find this magic potion that allows him to live. In the end, he killed himself. And many other people now still trying to find ways to prolong their life. How foolish they are. If God says you die, you die. Right? There are people who keep putting health supplements in body. They exercise very, very fit. Yet when God says you shall die, you will die. You can't control it. And what is true for every man will of course be true, right? For the wicked person, right? Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given unto it. In other words, those who are wicked, and not only are they wicked. Now, you look here, it says wickedness. These people are given to wickedness. What do we mean by given to wickedness? The word given down here is in fact, in the Hebrew, is in fact the word Baal. Right? Baal means master. They are masters of wickedness. They have mastered all the various devices of wickedness and iniquity. And they are wholly devoted unto it. You know, they may be wholly devoted to such instruments. But do you think that they can escape the judgment of God? They will not. They think that they're in control. And very often, wicked people, when they want to do, they want to commit devices against those who are righteous, they will keep plotting and plotting and plotting and plotting, and sometimes they may even succeed in their devices. And they think, wow, I'm succeeding in my devices, so therefore I'm in control. And worse still, some may even think they are on the side of God and succeeding. But actually, they are destroying the work of God. Will they succeed? No. Right? Just like a man has no power over his own life, one day he will die. Just as a man had, I don't know, when somebody order you to go to war, there is no discharge. Right? The king asks you to go to war, you want to say, don't go. Some men are going to turn 18 soon. The next one after Joshua will be Javan. Javan, you want to try? Once you reach 18, you try and swim out of the Kong. One man tried, he was caught. No, there's no discharge from war. Yeah, you have no control over it. You are 18, you're medically fit, pass A, pass B. Now they got A1, A2, B1, B2. I don't know how many pass status they have. You cannot escape. You have to go in. So same. You think the wicked can escape? Of course not. Right? God is there. God is all-seeing. He will not escape. There was one elderly pastor, and I believe some of you know this elderly pastor. I should not mention him by name. And well, during his life, he stood faithfully serving his church. But towards the end of his service in that particular church, well, the the church members, especially the session, the leaders, they keep lambasting him until this old man who is trying his very best to serve the Lord, well, he could not take it any longer. He had to resign. And after that, when he resigned, well, the people did not stop persecuting this man. Well, until he went home to the Lord, well, this man never saw any so-called any justice for the things that people did unto him. A lot of things he just suffered, and he kept quiet. Those around him, they see, they know. Actually, sometimes they really feel like taking things into their own hand and meeting out justice for him, but he always stayed their hands. Well, what happened when the Lord took him home? Some of these people that wanted to create trouble for him, by and by, because of their evil devices, they fell. They really fell. Some of the judgment was even with great cost to their body. They even brought this man, and then they do a medical checkup, and then say, oh, is this person sane or not? They claim that he was insane. And guess what? The medical report came back. Well, not only is he insane, he has better intellectual acumen than a normal man of his age. They wanted to do that. Well, but it's very sad in the end. Of course, we do not like to see ill happening upon people. But that was one thing that I've learned and I've seen and observed, and it is something that is very scary, something that is very real. You think God will not see, God will not judge. God will always judge. And so, yes, sometimes when God placed these divine ordinances, yes, you have the courts of the land, the courts fail. You have the courts of the church that sometimes because of weakness of men, the courts of the church fail. But you think God will ultimately fail? Of course not. Right? God is a God of justice. God is the perfect judge. He sees from heaven. He knows the hearts and intentions of men, and he will judge perfectly. Nobody can escape from his judgment. Nobody is in control, right, of his own end, of his own judgment. Like, God is the one who will mete out justice. And so therefore, Solomon says, all this have I seen, and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time when one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. Now what does he mean by this? Well, this is explained by verse 10. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they also had done so. This is also vanity. Yeah, they try and hurt people in their life. In the end, they think that they will escape. Did they escape? No. They did not escape. And finally, in the end, everyone have to die. And when they die, of course, there is the final judgment. One day, the great white throne judgment. And so, they plot. They make all kinds of devices against the godly, the righteous. What will it come? What will we come to? Is it not just soap bubbles? Oh, they spend all their time thinking on this evil entire life. But really, soap bubbles. All is soap bubbles. Everything will just poop. You wasted your whole life away in iniquity. It's vanity. Now, if that is so, and some of these wicked people, they are highly intelligent people, why is it that the wicked still want to continue to pursue wickedness, evil and iniquity? Well, because of verse 11. And woe betide if we let verse 11 come into our minds. Right, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Why do they want to set themselves to do evil? Well, because I'm awaiting judgment. My judgment never comes. First time I do evil, first time I steal $1, ain't nobody see, nobody catch. Okay lah, never mind. So therefore let me go and steal again. This time I steal $2, $3, $100. $1,000. Well, never come, never come. And so because the judgment does not come, and sometimes because due to the failing courts of the land, and sometimes even in the church, what people think, wow, nobody sees, nobody knows, or nobody can stop me, so therefore let me continue to do evil. Especially if these are people with great influence and power and money. Well, some people control the markets of the world. Well, they think they can continue to do evil and dominate the world. Well, of course, they cannot escape. They will never be able to escape. But what is the learning point here in verse 11 is, please do not let this be the same thoughts in our hearts. Because these are the thoughts of the unregenerate. The unregenerate, they will think this way. Right? Wait, no God sees. And they do things in secret. Nobody sees, nobody knows. And the means, right? Since I've achieved my goal, so therefore this justifies the means. If this come into your, if this verse 11 is your thoughts, what will happen? Well, that means, you know, in terms of your life, you sin against God. Oh, nobody see that I sin, so never mind. Hey, God does not judge me, so never mind. I can just continue to sin. Oh, I lie, so I can continue to lie. Oh, I commit adultery, I can continue to commit adultery. Oh, I steal, so I can continue to steal. Oh, I kill others, I can continue to kill others. Oh, I go about creating disunity among my brother, I also can continue. Why? Because nobody sees there is no justice anyway, so I can continue to do so. Oh, I can continue in my worldly ways. You see, my riches, all I have at home, my health is okay, so therefore no problem. In fact, in the Bible, it says that if God does not chastise you, you can very well, maybe you're not even his child. So please do not take situations like this when we sin against God and then judgment does not come. Really, especially if you're a child of God, you have to realize that this is actually the long suffering of God. Just like Ananias and Sapphira, remember when they lied about, they put a false front about the offerings that they give, or we gave our entire offering where actually it's only a part of it. Well, what happened? Sometimes people in the church they do such things. They come out, they want to present as though they did such a great work, but actually it's not. Well, the Lord struck Ananias and Sapphira dead. Well, we have committed worse than that. We are still alive. Long suffering of God. Well, do not let all these things that there is no sentence against evil work, so therefore I can do what I want. Or that will be the irony of this one. Where is justice? Well, turn it around. Now we apply to ourselves. Where is justice? Oh, seems like there is no justice in this world. God is ever near me. Well, that's just a songs which children sing in Sunday school. Do you all sing that song, Gareth? God is ever near me. Yes, you all sing that song. You see, only your children sing in Sunday school. It doesn't apply to me. So, never mind. I go about doing evil. I sin. I hide all these skeletons in my closet, nobody see. Because nobody knows, nobody will judge. Don't kid yourself that way. You sure there is no justice in this world? There will be justice. It will come. And when it come, it will be too late. Better quickly repent. Better turn back to the Lord. Then verse 12. Let's say, then, if you yourself, you suffer injustice, what then should your attitude be in the light of the earlier verses? What has been taught to you? Verses 12 to 15, 12 to 17 tells us all this. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, with fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days which are as a shadow, because he feareth not God. And so what Solomon is trying to say is this. Those that fear God, and as a child of God, we are supposed to fear God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Now, why do we... And this fear of God will be the one that will keep us from sinning. Those of us who have studied 2 Corinthians, we have seen, right, one of the motivations of service, in fact, is the terror of God. And why is this terror of God? When we need to come before the Lord, right, we know that one day we have to come before the Lord and account for everything that we have done. And even though we know, yes, for us, we do have no fear of eternal condemnation, that does not mean that we should treat it as a light matter to come before the perfect judge, before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then to therefore say unto him, we have done nothing. In fact, our whole life has been worthless before thee. The terror of God, the terror, you know, the fear of knowing that we will one day have to account our lives before him should drive us to a right service of him. Now, what Solomon is doing here, though, is to put things into reverse. Right? You fear God because you know you have to account before God. Now, therefore, knowing this, do not be distressed when you see injustice in this world. And as you continue serving the Lord faithfully, when you have all kinds of calumnies leveled against you, all kinds of persecution here, they even try and destroy you, and then there seem to be no recourse. And some indeed will have no recourse even until the very end, even until you die. You don't worry, because you know that those that fear God, it will be well with them. It will be well with them. You will ultimately will have to account of your life before God. And when you account for your life before God, because you are a God-fearer, what you do before him will be pleasing unto him. And he will commend you accordingly. You know that your end is sure. You know that your end is in heaven. You know that your end is in the realms of glory. It will be well with thee. So therefore, you don't need to fear and don't need to let this kind of injustice in the world trouble you, distress you, because you know that injustice will not last. The God of justice will make sure of it. And in fact, he has already made sure of it in the Lord Jesus Christ. You just wait for the consummation of the final judgment. You just wait. Just be patient. And so, yes, even though one of the vanities that you will see in the world is this. You expect those who are just to have the reward of the just in this world. But oftentimes, you will see those who are just, in fact, they get persecuted, they are rewarded with the reward, the recompense of wicked men in this world. And then the wicked, they continue to prosper. They are rewarded according to the work of the righteous. Do you then get depressed? Do you then go about in your life, oh, I have no more to eat, I don't want to do anything, I just want to stop serving, there is no justice in this world. No, in fact, verse 15, I commend mirth, because a man have no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God giveth him under the sun. In other words, you carry on with your entire life. What God has given to you, that portion, you joyfully take, continue to serve him, and leave everything under his hands. Verse 16, don't try to apply your heart according to worldly wisdom to try and understand everything. Now, some people, you know, when they look at everything in their life, they want to try and figure what's the sense of this thing and what is the sense of that thing. Now, should we try to do so? Yes, I believe we should, in the sense that we are given the Holy Scriptures, we ought to discern things. But some things will, no matter what happens, will continue to remain mysterious. It's in the mysterious will of God. Some things later on in life, when we look back, we will understand. Some things perhaps even until we lay in the grave, we will not. But then after that, we get to heaven, maybe we can ask God. Right? He will tell us. But in this portion of this life, he will not know. When the elderly pastor, he suffered all the way, all this injustice, and then he lying in the grave, and then he never saw justice meted out, at least in the time frame on the earth. And he looked back, but maybe he will not understand why all these things happen. But all of us who have seen it, we are the beneficiaries. But for him, he does not see it now. Did he allow it to trouble himself? No, in fact, he did not. He continued to be joyful, he continued to serve faithfully. Same. Don't, because of all these things that happen, in the end, well, no, neither day nor night, no, then there's no sleep in your eyes. Don't let that happen. Don't let it be so. Just commit it. Cast your cares upon the Lord. And when you cast your cares upon the Lord, And then you go according to the good theology that Solomon has taught us here. But we can sleep. We can sleep. Yeah. There is only a limit to how much men can find out. The wisest men only can only find out that much. There are certain things like the decrees of God, and certain decrees of God, they are secret, they are mysterious. We will not know. The secret things belong unto the Lord. What is revealed, we just follow, we just obey, we just trust in Him. And then there will be this peace. You know, your face will shine. You will not have this kind of a stern disposition. There will be this great peace, right, that will govern your life. Just like in the end, what we read in Psalm 73, right? You turn with me to Psalm 73. I was glad that Psalm 73 was chosen today as the passage to read in the responsive reading. Now you turn to Psalm 73. Right before that, verses 1 to 16, right? You see how he complained, right? In his soul, he was very vexed. He complained, and then by the time he come to verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Right? And then he applied good theology. He allows the knowledge of the scriptures to fill his heart and his mind. He went according to biblical wisdom. So in verse 22, he confessed. Right, verse 21, my heart was grieved, I was pricked in the reins. He confessed, so foolish was I and ignorant I was as a beast before thee. Right, so he confessed, wow, all my vexation of my spirit actually is very foolish. Why did I allow myself to be put up, down, left, right, center by all these people who commit injustice in this world? I already know their end. I also know my end. In the end, what his conclusion? Just focus upon God. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee, though they are far from God, you can surely guarantee they shall surely perish. Thou hast destroyed all them. Well, thou hast destroyed, and some of them may not even be destroyed in your lifetime, but here, prophetic. Right, written in a prophetic way. They are as good as destroyed. It is guaranteed. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring for thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. That is the heart of a person that understands that there is justice in this world. Why? Because God is a God of justice. God is omnipotent, omniscient God, and he will see to it that all his saints will be vindicated. And then there will be this peace in the heart. And so, where is justice of God? This shouldn't be the cry in your heart. Our cry in the heart should be, there is justice. When we cry in our heart, assuredly, knowing that there is divine justice in this world, our hearts and minds will be kept in perfect peace, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that our Heavenly Father will oversee all matters. And not only just that, we will not also sin against God, isn't it? Because we know there's justice. The people in the world, they think that justice will never come. But we know that because there is also justice, and God sees everything, God is always near us, we are also very careful in our ways. We will not have any skeletons in a closet. Right? We will try our best to live a blameless life before Him, before God. Man may not see, but God sees, God knows. And we will strive to do it. When we have sinned against God, we will very quickly want to come and repent before Him. We will not let any besetting sin come into our life to slow down in our race towards heaven. Understand this. Where is justice? Of course, there is justice. There is justice in God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do give thee thanks that thou art a God that is in control of all the affairs of this world. There is nothing that is hid from thy eyes. And how assured we are in the knowledge that thou art a God that is fair, thou art a God that is righteous, and thou art the God that is holy and just. And so, Lord, thy saints come before thee today to plead unto thee. Where in our lives we have suffered injustice, O Lord, may thou vindicate. And surely, O Lord, we know that thou would see all things to pass according to thy will. And we know that those who are thy children, you will surely vindicate them, you will surely protect them, you will surely do what is best for them. And so, Lord, grant us the peace of understanding that passes, the peace that passes all understanding in our hearts, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and continue to keep us faithful unto thee. This is our humble cry as we commit these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.